when we talk about social functions, it is not only restricted to the monetary benefits coming out of the employment, but here we are trying to improve the overall life of the member who is associated with such trade organizations or unions. Organization of mutual fund, cooperative credit societies for providing housing, cooperative stores, cultural programs, medical facilities and training for women in various crafts. So when we are talking about social functions, they are somewhere to improvise the life of the workers working in that organization and associated with the trade union. Now when we talk about such credit societies, so what they are doing is they are giving some lump sum amount on credit to the employees so that they can build their houses or they can buy their houses and they can increase or improve their standard of living. Then when we talk about women workforce, so they are also providing some additional trainings to women who can, you know, participate in certain types of works. Here specifically they are mentioning only about crafts. And then finally, education of members. When we talk about research, so whenever any policies or any data is policies or laws are being enacted that are based on some authentic information and data, so even here the trade unions can help us do that by collecting authentic information, collection and analysis of wage data, fringe benefits that are other benefits than the salary and wages, working conditions, welfare activities through region cum industry surveys. So it can be done on industrial basis. That means what are the level of wages paid in steel industry? What are the level of wages paid in say plastic industry? So this can be done on industry basis or we can do on region basis. Now if you see the recent news, you will see that there are top 5 say cities in India who are paying very high to women, whereas the other cities there is no parity, there is no equalization when it comes to payment of wages to men and women. There is so much of difference, but then Mumbai also comes within that city wherein women are paid fair. So this can be done region wise. Now say for Mumbai, for Bangalore or say for Maharashtra as a state. So such information and data can be collected. And wherever we find gaps to improvise or to fill that gaps, we can take further actions. Publication of periodicals, newsletters, magazines. Now this periodicals, newsletters and magazines contains information regarding, you know, the activities done by the trade unions. Then there are some information which will help the workers to educate themselves, prepare themselves for the future. So the publications are also being taken care of by certain sets of trade unions. Now talking about the political functions, unions have to influence government. So when we talk about the political function played by the trade union, how and why they are doing this, to again improvise certain sets of labor laws which are designed by government. Whether a union gets directly involved with a political party or has its own wing depends on the circumstances. The Trade Union Act 1926 provides for the constitution of separate political fund to facilitate political action by a union. So here we understand that a trade union can fulfill its political objective by getting into any political or existing political party. So they can involve outsiders in their union. So any political party or any political leader can be a member of trade union, who in turn will help them to achieve their political objectives, or maybe they can do it independently by collecting the funds from the members, and they can have an independent political fund. The type and extent of union's participation in the political process of the government depends on the stage of economic and social development. So here when we talk about this political objective, it is not independent in nature. It will depend on the economic and the social objective. Now when we talk about characteristics of trade union, a union normally represents member in many companies throughout the industry or occupation. So as we have discussed earlier, union may be based on occupation. Now say for example, there are some occupation say plumbers association. So these is based on the occupation, the type of work that they are doing, or it may be on the type of industry, that is steel industry, plastic industry, glass industry, etc. A union is fundamentally an employer regulating device. It sharpens management efficiency and performance while protecting the interest of the members. So here one important feature which will facilitate the smooth functioning of industrial relation is that it will definitely protect interest of their members, and their members are definitely employees working in that particular industry or organization, but at the same time they are also taking active participation in improvising the processes, methods, which will in turn help the employer as well. A union is a part of working class movement. So here when we talk about the members of this union, it is restricted to working class. It is not applicable for the people who are not working or who are unemployed. A union is a pressure organization originating in the desire of on the part of a group with relatively little power to influence the action of a group with relatively more power. That means when an individual represents their own ideas or say have an issue or grievance, they will not be taken care of. But when there are more numbers, that will become more powerful. A union is a political institution on its internal structure and procedures. A trade union is an association of employers or employees or of independent workers. They may consist of employers association, example, Employers Federation of India and Indian Paper Mill Association. So as we have discussed earlier, the unions are not only restricted to employees, but then employers can also form their union. So these are some examples wherein they have given the associations or unions of employers. A trade union is formed on a continuous basis. That means it is not for on ad hoc basis or for a temporary period of time, but that will be given recognition or will be accepted only when it is for a continuous nature. And not for say temporary objective fulfillment, because that can be used negatively. Now say for example that few employees have some personal grudges with the management, and because of this purpose they are forming a trade union. Okay, and once the trade union is being formed, they are influencing other employees to go against the management. And as soon as they negotiate with the management and they take some advantage from the employer, and once they are fulfilled with their objective, they dissolve this trade union. So such cases should not happen, and that's why a trade union should be always in continuous nature. And if we are dissolving the trade union, sufficient information should be provided that what are the reasons it was formed and what are the reasons now that is their union is dissolved. It is a permanent body and not a casual or temporary one. It continues to function throughout the year. It is formed to protect and promote all kinds of interest that we have spoken about already. We have spoken about economical, political and social of its members, that is employees. The dominant interest with which a union is concerned is, however, economic. Now see, whenever we talk about an employee going to work, its primary motto behind going to work is definitely economic. Social welfare also matters, but that becomes useless if you are not paid wages. That means you are being provided with excellent working conditions. But will you be going to work if you are not paid? No. So ultimately, the prior objective of maybe employer or employee is always economic objective. It achieves its objective through a collective bargaining and group effort. Negotiations, collective bargainings are some tools which will help them to do that. Crafts union. In this organization, the labor class is grouped based on particular trade or occupation. So here we have discussed what are crafts union. These crafts union are basically the union or the members of similar kind of skills. They possess similar kind of skills and they do similar kind of work. A craft union may cover all workers engaged in that craft in a particular plant, unit of industry, or in different plants of particular industry. That means, now when we talk about craft union, that can be in a particular organization. Or it may be different organization forming a craft union. That means employee from different organization performing similar type of task and possessing similar type of skill can come together and form a union. So it can be on organizational level or it can be on industrial level. It can also be on regional level. This category is mainly amongst the white collared employees. The majors are mostly in horizontal system and craft conscious rather than class conscious. Now when we are talking about this crafts union, they are basically white collars employee because continuously we are talking about skills. So they are not unskilled workers, they are skilled workers who are possessing common skills. So when we are talking about skills, they are white collar employees. And here there are not only talking about higher wages and salaries, etc. But there, when we are talking about skilled employee, they are also in a continuous thirst of learning and development and growth. A particular category of industry falls into industrial unions. And they will have their own unions. All crafts and trade coming under that industry are part of the union. Now, talking about industrial unions, they are based on the type of industry. So, different types of industry may fall into different types of unions. Textile mill union, steel industry union, mill mazdoor sangh, girni kamgar unions are some of the examples of industrial unions. They are formed basically type of the nature of the work done in that particular industry. So when we talk about textiles or when we talk about textile mills, all the textile mills in that particular vicinity can come together and form a union. They form a strong force in collective bargaining. They cover all welfare of similar industry works in a city or in an industrial town. So here we are talking about a region. And these are general unions. So these are general unions and they are more powerful in nature because they form a big conglomerate. This is a conglomerate group of different industry employees forming a union. This happens normally in industrial towns because these many industries will be only found in towns and not in rural areas or small cities. Ancillary units and SSI units in a city or suburbs. Example are Pinya Industrial Workers Union, Thane Industry Employees Union and Jamshedpur Labor Union. So they are basically formed, basically in that region. They are irrespective of craft and industry. So all craft, all industry falling in that particular vicinity, they come together and form a union and that is called as a general union. A general union may have different types of industries and different type of crafts in the union. Now talking about federations, these are apex body at national level. So when we are talking about federation, they have more powers and authorities compared to the crafts union, industry union and general union because these operates on a national level. All trade unions like craft union, industrial union and general union become members of federation to have bigger identity. So earlier they form a union, maybe craft, industry or general. Now these particular unions get associated, get registered with some or the other federations formed on the national level. Now central trade unions as federations help smaller unions and support at national level to address their causes. Now these are some examples you can see which are the central trade unions and the other small trade unions get associated with these type of central trade unions of India. Now talking about the leadership, trade union leadership in India consists of two main tiers, the outsiders and the insiders. Now when we talk about outsiders, they are not actually engaged in any type of work happening in that industry. So now say for example I take an industrial union, say steel industrial union. So generally the trade union should consist of all those members who are engaged working in that particular industry. But then who are outsiders? Outsiders are nowhere concerned with the engagement of work in particular industry. That may be, a lawyer, that may be a political leader, and can associate with the trade union. The cause and the reason for this, we have earlier discussed that they are in a better position or a powerful position when negotiations takes place. So they have more point of views and logical ideas, and they will be in a better position to represent the trade unions when it comes to bargaining. And of course, the other side is the internal members who are actually engaged in that industry by working in that industry. Outsider leaders have helped to guide the trade union movement. So they are basically here to guide the members of the union and help them. So it's more of, a social cause of this outsider getting into the trade union, which have shown a different face after a few years. After a few years, it was identified that these outsiders actually get engaged in such trade unions for their personal benefit, and somewhere now even the employees have felt that these outsiders who are more powerful, they themselves exploit the employees. So it's becoming a problem, basically, taking outsiders as a member of any union. But now most of the outsiders are no longer selfless or social workers. So we have discussed, initially it was a social cause, but now they are actually entering for their personal benefits. They are either leaders of political parties or men with political ambition. They are most professional lawyers and non-employees. NCL, however, did not favor ban on them. According to it, unless conditions were created for building up of internal leadership, a complete ban on outsiders would weaken the trade unions. So here we cannot even ban, the membership of outsiders as a trade union members until and unless we are very sure that the insiders would have that leadership skills and would have that potential to make sure that their negotiation skills are improved, their leadership skills are improved, so that they are in a better position to bargain. So until and unless that doesn't happen, we cannot have a complete ban on the outsiders participating in the trade union. So it is recommended for limiting the proportion of outsiders. So when we cannot have a complete ban, at least we can have some restrictions of this outsiders coming and participating in the unions. So some restrictions are being imposed, on the basis of percentage. The development of political unionism has prevented the growth of sound worker-led trade unions and resulted in multiplicity of trade unions. So what has happened, this point also we have discussed, the trade union have a tremendous strength of bargaining. But now in an organization, what employees do based on their personal interest, they form different group. And in a single organization, when you have multiple trade unions, there is conflict between these different trade unions itself. So employer or the management takes advantage of this rivalry amongst the different trade unions existing in an organization. Another unhealthy feature is tendency of political parties in power in the states to set up trade union wings of their own. Inter-union rivalry that already we have discussed can be a result of multiplicity of unions, outside leadership, absence of statutory bargaining agent, etc. The emerging problem of multiplicity of unions means more than one union existing in an organization at both the plant and industry level has posed a serious threat to industrial peace and harmony in India. Now say, for example, when we talk about plant level, that is a single organization, and it can also go to industrial level. Say, for example, in steel industry, there are five trade unions. So now these five trade unions may have different objectives. So they are actually weakened and not strengthened. Whereas the major purpose of trade union or forming a trade union is to strengthen, to have a collective bargaining power. But now when you there is inside rivalry between the trade unions, management is definitely going to take advantage of this. There used to be various labor strikes in various places of India during the period of 1960 to 1980. Nowadays they have reduced drastically. Strikes used to take place mainly for disputes or disagreements on various issues like bonus amount, incentive schemes, suspensions, layouts and dismissals, and relocation of factories and or employees. Now when we talk about relocation of factories basically are for behind their economic objective, that is higher profitability. So they relocate the factories wherever they want or they get higher profits. So because of this reason, then what should be the amount of bonus payable to an employee? Because of this reason, there were lots of strikes and stoppages of work happening in the period of 1960 to 1980. The major causes, however, have seen related to monetary factors. As we already know that though we fight for various other factors, the primary objective of employer the primary objective of an employee coming to the work is monetary. There are examples of more often strikes in textile mills of Bombay and Ahmedabad than in any other industry. Learning from the example of textile mill strike failure in Bombay, there are no major strike anywhere in India since then. Now when we talk about the textile mills of Bombay, they were a failure. Why they were a failure? Because they couldn't manage to bargain and bring the employer to their point, and it was for a very long period of time. So ultimately it was employee who got affected, and because of this the other trade unions have taken a lesson from them that only stoppages of work is not going to help, and since that time there are less number of strikes happening. The moral of the story is organizations can pay more only if revenue and profit rises, and this is but obvious. If the company or the organization is not earning well, how will be they able to pay more or give better working conditions to their employee? So it is equally important to think management perspective as well. Both workers and management must follow practical and workable equations and avoid opposing just for opposing purpose. No union in IT sector. So when we talk about IT sector, there are no unions. So somewhere the reason is because they are already paid well, the working conditions they are into are already very good. So maybe that is the reason, And what happens is when we talk about minimum working hours, so here they are working on project basis. So they won't mind working for more number of hours when it comes to project completion. And if we see it other way, we can say because there are no unions in this sector, they are working for more number of hours. So it can be either way. It is interesting to observe that Indian worker environment drastically changed in last two decades. When we talk about last two decades, we are actually talking about a tremendous growth in IT industry. It has improved both within law limits and by violating law limits. That means imposing law and following law, they are the two different criteria when we talk about legal existence of any law or any labor law. So here we are talking about both have improved. We are not also violating, and then we are working in the law limits set by the legislative authorities. So it is a positive, we can say a move we observe when it comes to industrial relations. Examples of these are Factories Act 1948 forbids lady employee working after sunset. But however, if you see in IT companies and BPO sector, lady employees work night times without complaining. None has opposed this so far to avoid unemployment. So as I told you, it can be either way. See, one is they are behind the project completion, so they are ready to work on more number of hours, even they are ready to do night shifts. But then readily they are accepting it. They don't mind taking that night shifts. They are not imposed. But if see it other way, we can say because there are no trade unions, so they are having a fear of losing their jobs, and that's why they are working or they are working extra number of hours or taking night shifts. In earlier decades, employee used to claim OT, that is called as overtime. So over and above the minimum maximum number of hours that you are supposed to work in an organization, and you work for extra number of hours, you are being paid for that overtime. But now willingly and voluntarily we are working extra number of hours. This payment was twice or one and a half times the normal rates. These days this trend has stopped. And employees do not claim OT, especially when we talk about IT industries. Above situation is partly due to the fact that none of the IT company have trade unions. This has happened as the company has only white collared staff, engineers and executives. Now when we talk about some Japanese practices, in India mode of strike is to stop working. Now whenever we have some issues with with our management, and if they are not being resolved, what we do is we go on stoppages of work, that is strike. But when we look at the Japanese concept, it is different in nature. In Japan, the mode of protest is to wear a black badge and work extra hours each day. So what they do is they wear a black badge, they don't stop working, indeed they work extra number of hours. This attracts the attention of management to sit and discuss the problem of workers. Perhaps this speaks of the socio-cultural values and enlightened approach of their leaders. Now talking about employers' organization, under the Trade Union Act, the term trade unions also includes employers' organization, as we have discussed. But strictly speaking, an employers' association means formal body of employers only, that are mere associations. And what are their objectives? Their objectives are to promote collective bargaining on their areas, to develop healthy and stable industrial relations, to bring employers' viewpoint to the notice of the government. That means when we are talking about lower class, they are being given more preference by the government because they think that they are being exploited. But at times, the management have some viewpoints which are very genuine in nature. So if the employers association as a whole comes and bargain on this, so even they can convince government on this. To represent employers at national and international forums, which will help them to grow their business. Organizational structure of national trade union consists of four levels. So there are conventions and sessions. Now these conventions we can talk about international level, that is happening in the ILO. General councils, that is with the president, vice president, secretary, general secretary, etc. Provincial bodies, that means on state level, at state level chairman and secretaries, and local bodies which is restricted to a particular region. National conventions, conferences are held at periodic intervals. We have discussed that in ILO conferences are held in Geneva in the month of June every year. Say annually or biannually, this is the highest policy making body. So here basically we have understood what is the idea behind trade unions, how they are being formed, who are the members, who are the insiders, who are outsiders, how it is beneficial, and how somewhere there are some negative impacts of the trade unions. So further we understand what are the processes and the methods that are being followed by the trade union. Thank you very much.